Hello. Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 112 of the City Brewed Tours podcast, where we explore the best beer scenes around the United States. I'm your host, Brian. Welcome back for another episode. We're going to be closing out Brooklyn this month with a quick chat about Brooklyn Brewery, one of the most, probably the most important brewery when we're talking about the New York City beer landscape, and certainly the Brooklyn beer landscape. Happy again to be joined by my co-host for these Brooklyn episodes, Ethan Angelica. Ethan, how's it going?
Oh, you know, I'm doing great. We're living our best lives here on between the two bridges and the two breweries. Although I will say I've been spending more time at the beach lately, which means I've been hanging out with one of my other favorite New York City breweries, Coney Island Brewing Company, which takes some work to get to, but they serve a mean Merman IPA. I'll say that.
Oh, Merman. Jealous that you've been spending time at the beach. I went to a lake this weekend.
Oh, see?
That was nice.
Isn't that the more like inland equivalent of there's beaches on lakes?
Yeah.
Minnesota, there's beaches on lakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it sandy or rocky? What's your preference here?
Oh, my preference would be sandy.
Okay.
The lake we went to is called Chautauqua Lake.
Okay.
It's in like it's in the southern tier of New York. Can you guess which brewery is located near there?
I'm just gonna just hazard a guess that it could be one that shares Ithaca Brewing Company, right? Clearly, that's the option.
Yeah,
clearly. Yeah. There you go.
To tonight's brewery too.
Well, there you go.
Well, not Ithaca Brewing Company, but a brewery company in Ithaca may have had involvement in the roots of tonight's feature brewery.
Quite true.
Yes. But good to hear you're doing well. Good to hear you're getting your beach time in, as it is in limited supply in the East Coast. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to take our love where we can for in these hot summer days. So, yeah.
Yes.
It's always an adventure. And so you had beach time. Any other adventures this week to update us on?
To be clear, I did not have beach time. It was a lake with docks and lots of weeds. Not as picturesque.
The beach adjacent is what we're saying here.
There's a body water.
There
people
you go.
Swimming it.
Exactly. There's fish. I feel like we're basically there.
Yeah, we're close enough there. Yeah, no other real adventures. It was a nice trip up there for my brother's birthday. Did a little fishing, did a little relaxing by the fire, drank some beers, of course, and got to see my grandma, which is always nice.
Yeah. Oh, family time is always good with beers.
Yes. Yes. Tonight, speaking of beers, we're featuring two beers from the prestigious, illustrious,
iconic.
Yeah, I was going for the three adjectives there, like Kramer's lawyer, whose name escapes me.
I see.
We have the, of course, Brooklyn Lager.
Oh, yes.
From Brooklyn Brewery, and with the story that Ethan just gave, the very apt Brooklyn Summer Ale.
This is what you should be drinking this time. I mean, you can drink whatever you want any time of year. I have friends who say it's stout season, but honestly, Brooklyn Summer definitely follows me around this time of year for sure, no question.
I know which friend that is.
Oh, you do know which friend it is, and many of your listeners probably do as well. And I'll be honest, I have watched this friend drink a 17% like pastry stout in 92 degree weather and live his very best life. And I was like, you know, you do you, dude.
Yeah, it's my brother. My brother this weekend was like, hey, you know, we're celebrating my birthday. Do you want me to bring a beer barrel time, which is a big bourbon barrel aged beer from Side Project out in St. Louis? And I was like, yeah, it's going to be like 90. Maybe we'll pass on that. Maybe we'll drink that another day.
So you are a seasonal beer drinker, that I gather.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like a good crispy lager all year round, but definitely not reaching for stouts this time of year. And probably not reaching for like really light sours when it comes to the winter months. So Yes, Ethan. Yes, the answer is yes. I am a seasonal drinker.
There's a beer for every season, right? It's good that we get to cycle. We can tell what time of the year we're in by what we're drinking, and honestly, that's the calendar we all need.
And speaking of seasonal drinking, I think the season right now is evening time on a Tuesday, and that means we should open our first beer here.
Right. And what are we drinking first?
I think we should go Brooklyn Lager first.
Okay. Which, again, is one of those all-time of year beers, I think. It's a classic. It's the one that these guys are known for. Certainly, I think for many, we talked about conversion beers last week. I know this is one that sort of became a standard bearer for people in their expectations of beer, craft beer.
You know, it's funny. I think both either you and I or myself and Jonathan both said we like a good Vienna lager as a conversion beer. And I think I always go to that because people know Yuengling so well around here. And if you know Yuengling, like this is the conversion beer for Yuengling right here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cheers.
Cheers. Ugh.
Oh, it's so nice and malty, but so crisp and refreshing.
Mm-hmm. It's got that nice sweetness to it. You can really get the sense that it is truly an amber lager. And it's just a well-made, it's such a well-made beer. There's no wonder that it is just a beer that people reach for regularly, right?
Yeah, it is. It's one of those solid beers you think of, I would say almost in the tier of Allagash White or Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, whatever it may be.
There is one thing I enjoy about it is there is just a mild hoppy note because I know that they do some dry hopping on this one. And so I get that just like little spine of bitterness in it, just really gently there, which I think is one of the things that kind of helps people over the hump when they're coming over to the better side.
It's funny you mentioned the dry hopping. I was looking up Brooklyn itself the brewery doesn't give a lot of information about the beer. It's a 5.2% ABV American amber lager. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like the malt bill, the hops that they use, the yeast that they're using, couldn't find any information. So I went to the next best source,
which is
homebrewers.
Oh, see, only they know the best part. They always know the goods.
So I actually went to like the American Homebrewers Association, which is the Brewers Association's homebrewing arm. So as official as you could possibly get. And yeah, they mentioned a lot of late hop additions. And I think I did see dry hopping in there with some pretty modern, maybe not super modern American hops, but definitely American hops that would lend a nice grapefruit note to this. And I think that's where it's coming from. Those late additions or dry hopping, and it complements that malt character so well.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those beers. I mean, when I first moved here, and you know, the craft beer scene was not certainly what it is today. This was definitely a beer that I would get together with my friends in our, you know, apartments that we were sharing with, you know, four other people and whatever, but we all would sneak up on the rooftop and we would drink Brooklyn lagers and look out far out at the city as the, you know, sun was setting behind it in the evenings. So this gives me that flavor. In fact, when I moved to the neighborhood I currently live in, I did make friends with a guy who lived a couple buildings over who had this gorgeous view. And that was our tradition, is that like, if we were having a crappy Thursday and we needed to chat with someone about it, I'd pick up a sixer of Brooklyn Lager. We'd pop up to the roof and just sit there, talk, literally crack the bottles on the side of the building off the bricks, which I'm sure was a terrible idea. I'm sure there's like little shards of glass running through my body at this point because of that. But this is for me that flavor of like summer on the rooftops here. And I think that they capture that sort of sensibility perfectly.
This is a comfort beer for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. Definitely. This is one of the things that kind of got me, you know, continued to put me onto the craft beer train for sure.
Absolutely. And Brooklyn, as we've mentioned, is a super important brewery to the New York City beer scene. And Ethan, given that you live in New York City, you live in Brooklyn, you've called it home for more than half of your life. You're a beer tour guide, as well as another tour guide and in other endeavors, and this is why we have you here. You want to tell us a little bit more about why Brooklyn is so special and kind of the history of this, I believe, oldest operating craft brewery in Kings
in
County.
Yeah, well, in the County of Kings, the better borough, as we say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, New York City was this incredible hub of brewing. So, for context, yes, I am a tour guide, but I also read way too much. And Brooklyn was the hub of brewing in the United States for years. We had this incredible German immigration that was coming to New York City, and you had beers like Schlitz, kind of classics. New York City was actually, for a time, supplying like almost 50% of the beer in the United States. There was a time when that hub. And then there was this little thing that happened called Prohibition. Not sure if you've heard of it. It was kind of
shucks.
I know, hate to do that. And unfortunately, the entire brewing scene in New York City was fully decimated. And so we lost breweries. I think there was almost no brewing happening in New York City going into the 60s and 70s. It was bad news. And so Brooklyn Breweries comes back in 1988. Steve Hindy and Tom Potter sort of pulled this thing together. Hindy had been, he was in the Middle East. I think he was in like Kuwait or something. And he came back to Brooklyn in 1984. And he kind of had this like life moment of like, what am I going to do with myself? And so he quits his job and he meets up with his downstairs neighbor in the Brooklyn of in the borough of Brooklyn. They were in a neighborhood called Park Slope, which is right next to Prospect Park. It's gorgeous. And they're like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to make a brewery. And they did one of the, so initially Brooklyn Breweries was supposed to be called Brooklyn Eagle Breweries because the kind of like Brooklyn local paper is called the Brooklyn Eagle. And they met up with a guy named Milton Glaser, who, if you've ever seen the I Heart New York t-shirts that people buy when they come to visit, that was his design. And they basically were like, we want to do this thing. And he was like, cool, you can't afford me. So they paid him hourly. He took a percentage of the brewery. There's a rumor that he was basically allowed to take as much beer as he wanted. Like that was part of his his payment. So there are stories of him like rolling up to the brewery, stacking Brooklyn lagers in his car and then rolling back out with it. And he convinced them to go with the name Brooklyn. Because he was like, look, Brooklyn Eagle, too much, whatever. It's going to be just stick with Brooklyn. No one's claiming us. It was the 80s. Like Brooklyn was not hip quite yet. Not as hip, probably hip in people's hearts, but not as hip as it, you know, was at that point. And so he designed that iconic, I mean, it's on the iconic Brooklyn B. And initially no one really knew what to do with it. A lot of people thought it was like an old Dodgers logo. From the Brooklyn Dodgers before they all headed off into eternity and sort of disappeared, at least from our borough. They went to other places, but we don't talk about that because people are still bitter about it here. But they kind of let it sit, and it really kind of picked up this sort of like mystique around it. And to start to push themselves out in the world, their focus, again, as many craft breweries do today, was to connect with like nonprofits in the culture scene. So Brooklyn beer just wound up being everywhere. People would drink it at museum gala openings. It was like, what's this? Okay, might as well drink it, you know? And that's kind of how they like built their way into the hearts of Brooklynites. And of course, they eventually needed a home. So they landed in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, before it was hip. Before it was super cool, and they wound up in an old matzo factory, which is where they are still today, which I think is iconic and wonderful.
Yeah, that really, really ties in well with the neighborhood. And I think they made a very smart business decision, much like Jim Cook when he was starting Sam Adams. Mm-hmm. They contract brewed everything.
Exactly.
They were like, we don't know beer. We know branding and we mm-hmm. know marketing and sales and stuff like that. So let's put our efforts towards that. And they contracted from a brewery called FX Matt.
All right. Yes.
Located up in Utica, New York, mm-hmm. as we alluded to earlier. The name FX Matt probably doesn't sound very familiar to many people, but one of their brands, I would guess their biggest brand nowadays, is Saranac, which I think a lot of people would be familiar with.
A terrific, terrific set of beers over there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they've sort of expanded their operations. I know that they don't just brew in their Brooklyn location. I believe they have something. I know they have something in Utica. I believe they also have something in Staten Island, if I'm not mistaken. So they're really kind of like expanding because their space is not huge, but it's really cool. They've got one of the most like intense bottling and brewing system, like setups that I've seen packed into a tiny, tiny little Brooklyn, like square foot area. Everything is run in every which way, and like not a single bit of space is wasted. And they're always very kind. We'll take you on a tour back there and show you around. And it's just amazing to see how they're packing all this stuff into this tiny little footprint, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, I think that goes with certainly what Williamsburg has become in this idea of like, we have a business, let's find a place to put it because we feel something special about this place, and we'll make it work. Retrofit it. We'll jam it in there. We'll give it our own spin that gives it character because of the jury rigging that they've had to do to really make things work in there. And yeah, I think even when they originally opened that spot in Williamsburg, they were still using the contracting for many years because they were so popular and couldn't keep up with the demand.
Yeah, they continue to be popular. I mean, back in the old, back when I've taken people on tours, we did make stops at Brooklyn Breweries for, of course, the excellent reasons. And what I always thought was funny was that it was not the Americans who were asking me about Brooklyn Breweries. Weirdly, it was the Swedes.
The Swedes.
Yes. So what I later learned is that Brooklyn has contract operations in Europe and has a very large following in Europe. And apparently Sweden is one of the places where they're a big deal.
Huh.
Yeah. In fact, when I was doing some traveling with friends, I went to the brewery in Belgium. I don't remember the name of it, but it's the one that does Delirium Tremens.
Mm.
Yeah.
Big family fancy Belgian name, yeah.
Yes, big fancy Belgian name. Family-owned company, still doing all their own distribution, using robots to bottle beer. It's wild. And as I'm walking around, and they contract for all sorts of different groups, and as we're wandering around being shown this incredible, gigantic, massive operation, what do I find but Brooklyn Defender cases just staring at me, ready to be distributed out to Europe? And I was just like, are y'all following me? Because like, what's up with this? Because you guys are like, how am I standing in this small town in Belgium, you know, with this delightful Belgian tour guide showing me around, sitting next to one of my like go-to beers, right there, just like looking back at me. And so that, of course, the first thing I had to do when I got back was to try and find Brooklyn while we were in Belgium. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to because I was drinking other delicious Belgian beers. But I was like, now there's a mission. Like the Brooklyn Defender is leading me on to great beer as they always have. So made me very happy.
Yeah, again, I think it's still a testament to their business acumen, identifying that there is a desire for craft beer in Europe, finding a way to make it happen because of the resources that are available to a brewery of Brooklyn size, and finding the beers that are going to really connect with them. Because I would imagine Brooklyn Lager is a big seller for them in the United States.
Oh, for sure.
Probably not so much over there. I think the things like the Defender IPA, the Summer Ale, and other non-traditional European beers do really well over there for them.
Absolutely. It makes perfect sense. I mean, I remember on that trip drinking sort of a German take on an IPA and being like, well, we were close. Almost there. We're just a few steps behind. We're just a few steps away from what we're thinking when we go for a true American IPA.
We admire you for attempting.
Oh no, I was thrilled that they were trying.
Yeah.
I did immediately switch over to German lagers after that. So
when in Rome.
One would hope. Yeah. So have you been to Brooklyn? You've been to Brooklyn. Yeah. You've been to the Brooklyn breweries.
I have not been to Brooklyn Brewery. That's one of that's the only place we're featuring this month that I haven't visited myself in my journeys to New York City. I've seen the place. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar where it is. And of course I know about the brewery and of course their illustrious brewmaster, which we'll talk about in a second here.
Right.
But yeah, never been there myself.
Well, it is, they've set it up pretty old school. It's got those big long tables. It's got those big benches. It's not sort of like beer style. They've really taken advantage of the fact that they are in in this really sort of industrial kind of, or what was historically an industrial area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got this massive barn door that swings open. So you really feel like you're going into this huge, gigantic space. And the other kind of fun thing is that they do, even though, you know, they have this great operation, they've been able to really kind of like make the craft beer scene known worldwide and nationwide in many ways. You know, I believe they were doing international distribution before they distributed to California. So it's, you know, it's like they've done all this cool stuff, but they still do some like random let's try nonsense things. And every once in a while, if you're there, you'll see someone pull like a Magnum out of the basement. They've just been letting sit for a while, and they'll just start pouring it, or it shows up on the menu and you're like, well, clearly you got to try that one. So it's, even though they have like, you know, introduced craft, they're one of the ones that have introduced craft beer to the world and certainly been the foundational element for the Brooklyn scene. They're not resting on their laurels, which is what I appreciate about them. Yes, I know my Brooklyn Lager is going to kill it every time, but I do want to see what crazy stuff their brewmaster is pulling out in the back there.
Absolutely. And not a super special beer like the ones you've alluded to, but I think we should get to our wonderful seasonal release from them there. Brooklyn Summer Ale. Very excited for this.
Mm-hmm. I'm savoring the lager a little bit too much, so I'm going to catch up to you. But don't let that stop anybody.
Yeah, this is old school pale mm-hmm. ale style here. Nice and clear, really nice citrusy aroma, but there's still malt in the aroma. Like crystal malt or caramel malts. Cheers.
Cheers.
So a Brooklyn beer that I think doesn't get talked about a lot, but was kind of an eye opener for me, was their Sriracha Ace.
Oh yes. What a great beer. That is a pretty magical one.
Yeah. And it's really cool because it uses a hop, I believe that's also called Sriracha Ace.
It is. Yeah, that is. It's a beer named for the hop.
And this hop is special because I believe it is one of, if not the only, commercially available hop that takes its origins from Japan.
That's, yeah, it's very true. It's such an interesting beer. It's a little higher alcohol. And it is, I think, it kind of a cool way to give someone who's got these, like, give people a new flavor. I assume you've had it, yes?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. What do you recall of the beer? What did you enjoy it? What did you think of it?
I definitely did. I'm a big Saison guy, so it was definitely something up my range, but it had this like peppery herbal quality that was very reminiscent of almost like fermentation character. And I think that's why it went so well in that Saison. Mm-hmm. And then I've had a couple other beers with Sriracha Ace since then. And immediately, as soon as I tasted it, I was like, oh, that's Sriracha Ace because of Brooklyn Sriracha Ace. Like it was such a shining star in that beer that it implanted into my brain, okay, this is what this weird exotic hop tastes like.
Yeah. It really, they do a great job of highlighting it. When I was sampling it once for some folks, someone described it to me in one of the most interesting ways. They referred to it as like almost tasting like the dill pickle spices.
Yes. Yes.
And people describe Sriracha Ace as lemongrass or things like that. But there is this like unique like dill pickle quality to it that is just so fun. It is, I think it's definitely a beer that you enjoy and take your time with. I know it's one of the ones that they always give you to you in a bottle. I've never seen it canned. And it's meant to kind of have that like, we respect this beer, we are proud of this beer kind of quality. But yeah, it's a pretty magical one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And speaking of magical, we can't talk about Brooklyn without talking about their wonderful brewmaster, Garrett Oliver.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
So we talked about Steve Hindy and Tom Potter, the founders of Brooklyn Brewery, who started the brewery in 1988, but kind of the third head of the three-headed dragon that is Brooklyn is Garrett Oliver. And he came on as their brewmaster in 1994. And since then has won, I believe, 6 James Beard Awards for his work in producing their beer.
But who's counting, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane, right? Like, how can you not bow to this man in his ability to create beautiful flavors?
Yes, he literally wrote the book on food and beer pairing. I believe it's called The Brewmaster's Table. Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn about how to cook really good and pair beers with that, highly recommend picking up that book. Garrett is well known for his own cooking prowess, and I think he brings a lot of that culinary knowledge into his brewing processes and really approaches beers with this idea the same way a chef approaches a dish. What are all the different components that we can bring in? It may be from your normal everyday ingredients like some standard malts and some standard hops, but it might be something like Sriracha Ace, where you're bringing in this extremely rare Japanese hop and trying to build a beer to really showcase that, but also come together and be a sum of its parts.
He has done so much, I think, also to continue to think about diversifying the brewing industry. I know that he has worked with a number of foundations and given scholarships to brewers who are fully underrepresented in our industry. And he's really done work to make sure that there are all these new approaches, creativity, takes, artistry in the world of brewing and distilling. And that is just like also incredibly outstanding. The fact that he can just take that level of prowess and say, okay, this is what I'm doing with my platform. Like, way to go, dude.
Yeah. He puts others on. He helped found the Michael James Jackson Foundation for Brewing and Distilling, which is a nonprofit that, that is dedicated to, quote, funding technical education and career advancement for Black, Indigenous, and people of color in the brewing and distilling industries, end quote. And like you've alluded to, Ethan, yeah, they've given out multiple scholarships for people looking to advance their place, advance their knowledge, and advance their career in the brewing and distilling world. And he's just really someone to look up to. I have met him once. I think it was a very, very cool interaction. We did not talk for long, but I was at Pittsburgh's Barrel and Flow Fest last year, which is coming up in 2 weeks. Very, very excited. My favorite beer festival of the year. And I had just seen Rage Against the Machine the week before. Perfect. So I was very, very proudly wearing my Rage Against the Machine shirt. And I was just walking through the festival before things got started. And I hear this voice go, hey, nice shirt. And I look up and it's Garrett Oliver. And I'm wow. Could you be cooler? Like you do all this cool stuff with food and beer, and he dresses exceptionally well. We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah.
Impeccably dressed individual, that Garrett Oliver. And he also likes Rage Against the Machine. And you know, I just, you know, just told him, thank you. You know, thank you. Thanks. I think I probably mumbled something like cool life or like cool scholarship program or something like that, because I'm terrible at meeting people I admire. I would go on later that day to beat Rob Todd's ear off, the founder of Allagash, after I had been drinking for most of the day. And he was nice enough to let me just continuously tell him how awesome his brewery was. And so, I'm very bad at meeting people that I admire.
Well, I honestly, if that is your Garrett Oliver story, that is a spectacular Garrett Oliver story.
Could have gone worse.
I could have gone worse, yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. If you guys are connecting over Rage Against the Machine, we're all fine. The world is correct and right if that's where Garrett Oliver sits in our life. And, you know, I will continue to drink to that for sure.
Yes.
But, well, Brooklyn Brewery, I mean, I know that he has done some major change, but I do want to just note that, like, Brooklyn Brewery has continued their community mindset. They're one of the beers that they, so, you know, as many breweries do, you know, there's every year we get different seasonal beers for different events. We talked a little bit about how KCBC does their birding beers and all that stuff. One of the things that, everybody in New York City does, cause of course we got a big pride, they do their pride beers, which is always pretty epic. And Brooklyn Breweries made the Stonewall Pale Ale, which is an IPA that is for Stonewall, you know, which is sort of like the center of the gay rights movement, which is on tap there. You can get it all year round. And they have been huge, continued to be huge supporters of that movement this year, really sort of taking to the streets a little bit about it in some ways that were cool, using their social media, continuing to be that platform for people who are not necessarily represented. So, like, way to go, Brooklyn. I love that everybody there is sort of still on, like, you know, we make beers for everyone to enjoy, so let's all drink them down.
Yeah, and I believe a portion of the sales of that Stonewall in pale ale.
Stonewall in IPA. Yep.
Stonewall in IPA actually goes to the Stonewall Gives Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And they have worked very, very closely with Stonewall, which, as you mentioned, is the place when you talk about the jumping off of gay rights in America. People literally fought for their rights.
Yeah,
at Stonewall in a very, very, very violent way.
Yeah, and there were some bricks, I hear. But a
couple of brickens.
Yes, but now we have a drink there, and the fact that I mean, I recall sort of as things were getting a little, you know, dicey this year, their social media really kind of popped off and said, you know, if you don't feel this way, if you don't want to support the causes that we support, that everyone should have access to beer, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, no matter who they love, no matter what they believe, then you can get out. And I was sort of like, I know that many breweries have had some blowback for this kind of thing, but I enjoy when someone who's got enough stature that they can show up in the community and say, we represent craft beer, is able to use their platform in that way. So
it's the difference between doing a partnership like this, because it's going to give you publicity and it's going to make you money, and doing a partnership like this because it aligns with the core values of your organization.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn is undoubtedly the latter.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Most definitely. Yeah. Plus, it's a damn good beer, y'all. Like, the Stonewall IPA is actually a real good drinker any time of year. And you know, I do like an IPA, so I guess I'm probably biased, but like, it's one of the ones where I'm like, oh, that one, yeah, I should grab that. I should have that one because I like that one. So
yeah. So I think we've said all that we can say about Brooklyn Brewery. Ethan, it's been great. Final thoughts on your home borough there, the better borough.
The better borough. Well, so here's the thing. We are missing Sasquatch. And I do feel like if there was a way that we could have one here that would really kind of like, you know, bump things up in where we are. But in the 2 decades almost that I've been in New York City, and the most of that time living in the better borough of Brooklyn, and even most of that time living between my two bridges and now two breweries, it has been just a joy to watch the scene here grow. And I think that even though, you know, New York City, center of the universe, mecca of everything, people often overlook us for our beers, and y'all gotta stop, because it's happening here, and it's happening in Brooklyn. So come visit us. Come cross the bridge out of Manhattan. Come check us out in Brooklyn. Go visit our friends in Queens. There's good stuff happening in the Bronx. Heck, even over on Staten Island, it takes a boat to get there, but there's some pretty good places happening over there. But New York City has got a happening scene. But if you're coming to Brooklyn, you have to remember that you don't sleep until you get here. Drink.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. People need to stop sleeping on New York City in terms of the beer scene. Sure, the tourism and everybody knows it for that, but God, there's such good beer there, and it's a unique experience. Go on the bar crawl, walk around like Ethan has suggested and Jonathan has suggested earlier this month. Check out your local check out the dive bars, the New York dive bars.
Get your pickled vegetables. Very important.
Get your pickled vegetables. I was very, very happy to hear that we were doing Brooklyn, because we have 4 stellar breweries that participated this month, and just a huge thank you to Other Half, KCBC, Threes, and Brooklyn Brewery for participating in this month's City Brew Tours podcast and Beer Club. Another thanks to Brooklyn for supplying beers for this episode, as well as for the beer club itself. If you're interested in joining the beer club, you can find subscription options at shop.citybrewtours.com. There you can look into joining the crew here, joining the beer club, getting beers like this shipped to you every month, and getting to join and talk about these beers. And you also get some other perks that come with being associated with the nation's oldest brewery tour company. Next week, we're going to be back with more episodes. But a slight change in format next month. We're going to be going to bi-weekly episodes. We're going to be featuring two breweries per episode, and we're lining up to have two guests per episode. And it's going a lot better. We'll tell you that. But yes, next month we will be featuring the wonderful city. One of my favorite. We're going straight across the country for next month. One of my favorite beer cities I've ever been to. The Rose City, Portland, Oregon.
Good choice.
And yeah, we're having some great breweries. Some of my favorite breweries I've ever been to in the country. Really, really following Brooklyn strong with a excellent.
They led the way, I feel like. I feel like they've been pushing the envelope for a while. We're catching up to them.
Most cities in the country are trying to catch up to Portland, Oregon in terms of their beer scene. And that's why it's going to be very, very fun to talk to them, or talk about them, talk to the great brewers at such illustrious breweries. So many medals every year. You go and you see the list of GABF and you scroll and it's like Oregon, 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 Oregon. So, so we'll be back next month to switch into two episodes per month. Next week will be the first episode with that format, and then we'll be going bi-weekly after that, first and third week of every month moving forward. But for tonight, and you know, until we meet again, stay safe, be kind, and support local breweries, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. It's been a pleasure.